Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to DLF Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. We have with us today on the call Mr. Ashok Tyagi, Whole-time Director and CEO, DLF Limited, Mr. Vivek Anand, Group CFO, Mr. Sriram Khattar, MD, Rental Business, Mr. Aakash Ohri, Chief Business Officer and Group Executive Director. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vivek Anand. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Faizan. Thank you. Audible clear?
Yes, sir, your audio is clear to me.
Wonderful. Good. Good morning and welcome to DLF Limited Quarter Four and Financial Year 2023 earnings webcast. Thank you for joining us on a Saturday. We are very happy to announce our business, which delivered record performance across all key parameters. We'll start with the highlights for the business. Financial highlights for Quarter Four, Financial Year 2023, DLF Limited consolidated. Consolidated revenue stood at rupees 1,576 crores, gross margin at 57%, EBITDA stood at rupees 518 crores, net profit at 581 crores, reflecting year-on-year growth of 40%. Financial highlights for Financial Year 2023, DLF Limited consolidated. Consolidated revenue stood at 6,012 crores, gross margin at 57%, EBITDA stood at 2,043 crores, net profit at rupees 2,053 crores, reflecting year-on-year growth of 36%. The board of directors have recommended a dividend of rupees 4 per share, subject to approval of the shareholders. During last quarter, our residential business delivered a record performance by clocking new sales booking of rupees 8,458 crores, reflecting a year-on-year growth of 210%. Cumulative new launches for the fiscal were around 10 million sq ft, and new sales stood at 15,058 crores, which is again a record number for annual sales booking. These figures obviously are on account of overwhelming response for the Arbour project, which created a new benchmark in residential sales by setting a record of being entirely sold during the pre-formal launch phase, garnering new sales booking of rupees 8,000+ crores. This strong response led to the preponement of a significant portion of Arbour sales that we had actually planned to release for the forthcoming quarters, approximately 4,000 crores. The success of this product stands as a testament of the immense faith that our customers have reposed towards our brand and a strong endorsement towards an aspirational lifestyle. The strong business performance led to a healthy surplus cash generation, enabling significant strengthening of our balance sheet. Consequently, our net debt now stands reduced to rupees 721 crores, one of the lowest levels. Further to this strong performance, our credit rating was upgraded to CRISIL AA stable outlook and ICRA AA stable outlook during the year. Our offerings across multiple geographies continue to be the preferred choice of customers, enabling healthy growth in our business. The residential upcycle, along with rising demand for luxury segment, enthuses us to remain committed towards scaling up our new offerings. We continue to follow a calibrated approach to bring new products across multiple markets while simultaneously ensuring timely execution of our launch products. In line with this strategy, we have outlined our planned launches for Financial Year 2024 in the analyst presentation. We are planning to launch around 11 million sq ft with a sales potential of almost 19,700 crores this fiscal, and in addition, have a launch inventory of around 7,400 crores. This gives us a potential of almost 27,000 crores worth of products. Given the fact that it takes a good amount of time to procure approvals and project readiness, we do expect that timing of these launches will follow a similar phasing as in Financial Year 2023, which means you will see a significant portion of new launches towards the second half. I'll now move to the financial highlights for financial year 23 of DLF Cyber City Developers Limited consolidated results. Rental income grew to rupees 3,967 crores, a year-on-year growth of 19%. Consolidated revenue of rupees 5,419 crores, reflecting a 19% year-on-year growth. EBITDA at 4,148 crores, year-on-year growth of 19%. Net profit of rupees 1,429 crores, reflecting year-on-year growth of 43%. The recovery across the office segment remains gradual on account of continued global macro headwinds. While such headwinds continue to impact decision-making in the short term, we believe that India would continue to be the preferred destination for global captives and large occupiers. The occupancy of our existing portfolio remains steady. However, we are witnessing healthy demand traction for our newer developments, indicating a clear shift by large occupiers towards quality workplaces, offering enhanced safety, engaging experience, and an integrated sustainable ecosystem. With this backdrop, we continue to invest on our new developments across DLF Downtown Gurugram and Chennai, and are implementing asset enhancement strategies across our existing portfolio as well. Our retail business continues to operate at high occupancy levels and deliver healthy growth. Footfall levels are now reaching the pre-pandemic level, with consumption trends showing buoyancy. We expect sustained momentum for quality retail destination and hence continue our expansion plans in this segment across multiple markets. We continue to work extensively towards our upcoming retail destination, Mall of India at Gurugram, for which planning is at advanced stages. We continue to remain a positive outlook for both our businesses and remain committed to delivering consistent and profitable growth by bringing quality new offerings across multiple markets. We believe that our business, backed by a strong balance sheet and healthy cash flows, remains well poised to deliver across all parameters. Right? With this, I end here, and we are now open for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question, please click on raise hand button available on the toolbar at the bottom of your screen, or you may click on the Q&A tab. Participants connected on PSTN, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Saurabh Kumar from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi team. So thanks for this. And after this quarter, I don't think there are many questions, but let me still try. So two on the office side, two on resi side. So on the residential part, one is how would you think about your sales guidance for next year after this 15,000 crore sales this year? And should we assume the similar 60-65% sell-through velocity that you have achieved this year? Secondly, specifically in terms of Arbor, why would you not hold on to inventory if the product is so good? Was there some, you know, issues on the taxes being better into this financial year, which led you to this decision? And on the office side, basically, what is the mix of the SEZ, non-SEZ in the portfolio? Are you seeing some pressure on the SEZ side there? And on the retail side, you've said that the malls will double in the next 4-5 years. What are these products? So a bunch of questions, but thank you.
So, Saurabh, good morning. I mean, on the guidance piece for next year, you know, that's a tricky one, frankly, because, you know, I know you are possibly leading us down a slippery path. So the way we look at it, frankly, we've been trying to be very balanced about it. I think in some sense, and I'll get Akash and Vivek to chip in, I think the Q1 and Q2 are really linked to each other. In all fairness, our estimation and our plan on Arbor was very transparently that it's an 8,000 crore launch. We'll possibly do between 3,000 to 3,500 crores in Q4 and the balance across end Q2 of the next fiscal. I think, as and I request Akash to chip in, I think even Akash with all his decades of experience was overwhelmed by the sheer quantum of response that the product generated. I think almost 3,500 crores, 3,500 checks for 1,100 apartments, etc. So really, we upped the ante, Saurabh, as you know, that normally we customers, I mean, normally the developers declare pre-sales on application. We said we will declare pre-sales only if we are able to collect the first 30-day installment of 10%. That means people have actually paid up 25 lakhs each, and they all have signed the agreement to sale, which is under RERA. Even that threshold was met 100%. So really, you know, frankly, we had no option but to, I mean, I don't think we had any rationale or frankly almost any logistical opportunity for us to actually defer our sale across two or three quarters. I mean, it all came in one quarter. I think it's obviously a delight. It's also, in all fairness, left a lot of, you know, our own friends and acquaintances unhappy who could not get the allotment, and that's fine. But really, agar aap dekhen, toh, I would say that a normalized sale for this year should really have been in the range of 10 to 11,000. But it just happened to be 15,000 because this 4,000 crores preponement happened. So we'll still keep our head, you know, guided. And we'll say that next year we should still be looking at a sales guidance of 11 to 12,000. But again, given the fact that we have two or three very interesting products lined up next year, you know, could there be a positive surprise? Of course. But I say from a guidance standpoint, we'll still say 11 to 12 is the guidance.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think just to add, Saurabh, I think this year we've launched 10 million square feet of products, adding up to almost the sales potential of 15,000 crores. I think we got a very good response from the market. And considering that, we've increased our launch pipeline to 11 million square feet for the current financial year, adding up to a sales potential of close to 20,000 crores, right? So I think our ambition is very clear, really to really grow from here, right? There is no doubt about that. But having said that, as Mr. Tyagi explained, from a guidance point of view, it will be 11 to 12,000, which we believe is achievable, and we will certainly try our best to really beat that estimate.
So, Saurabh, on Arbor, let me just also come in. Now, you asked a question about was this done for any tax benefits and all. Let me tell you, I was in the thick of things then. Short of being lynched and kind of, you know, taking a call on certain things on the ground, there was nothing one could do. It was such a pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, after a long time to see this tsunami of owners and prospects and CPs and partners throng. I mean, the place, I have some videos which I'd like to share separately whenever there is a chance. But let me tell you, when we started to build up, the build up started well. It was a pent up demand for the whole, you know, for a DLF group housing product in Gurgaon. A lot of work, seeding had been done. As you know, compliance related, post RERA only we can get down to doing stuff. So we immediately dispatched teams all over the world. We did a lot of work internally, a lot of good responses from the corporates. But, you know, at that point in time, we had a choice. You're right, absolutely. And to what Mr. Tyagi mentioned, and we deliberated, I think, not once, but 10 times on this issue where things kept happening. We had a choice, Saurabh, to push it to Q1 and make more money. Definitely, and let me tell you how much more money. About at least 1,000 crores more could have, you know, been done. I mean, as far as this company is concerned, I think the customer's interest and prospect's interest has always come first, and that is what we're known for. I think we've demonstrated it many times. Arbor being one also, I'd tell you, where the situation kind of came in like that, and we had a lot of responses that came in from people. At that point of time, to stall something which is going on at a feverish pace was, I don't think, would have been prudent, because you can't have a customer wait for 2 months, because this was mid-February, 15th February to be precise, is when we did the broker's launch, and immediately after that. So we couldn't have asked a customer to wait for, say, 6 weeks or 8 weeks for the next batch to come, when everybody else queuing up and giving their intents, their application forms. So we could have dragged this on, but I think it's in the interest of the customer's benefit first. A call was taken to do that. So I don't think there was any, I mean, there are, Mr. Tyagi and Vivek and I've already talked about it, but I don't think there is any tax related matter. But I think it's very grateful for an opportunity like this. You should have been there to kind of live that moment with us. But I think there were no doubts. The whole world and their mothers were here. It was a big endorsement to the DLF brand. I think that's all I'd like to say. But the celebrations here have been very muted. Mr. Tyagi's strict instructions, so I don't even know whether to celebrate or take care of compliments, you know. So
gratitude is the operative.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
Sorry.
Moving on to the rental portfolio, Saurabh, your question was SEZ versus non-SEZ. I think our breakup is about, in terms of rentals, about 30-odd percent is SEZ and about 67 to 70% is non-SEZ. And this is the offices part. The retail itself is about 22%. So in the overall rental income, the SEZ in terms of rental income falls to below 20-22%, 20-odd percent. Now, SEZ is a little concern in the market because of the sunset clause. In our portfolio, our SEZ has maintained an occupancy of about 15, has maintained a vacancy of about 15-odd percent, whereas our vacancy in the non-SEZ portfolio has dropped down to only 6%, and which is, I think, a very healthy sign. And the combined vacancy is about 10%. Now, while this is happening, we have been advocating and socializing through the CII and the NAREDCO and the Asia Pac Real Estate Association with the Ministry of Finance, Department of Revenue, and with the Commerce Ministry. And I am given to understand that they are in the final stage of amending the SEZ Act rules, which is within the power of the Commerce Minister, which will extend the building-wise denotification to a floor-wise denotification. I also understand that the Ministry of Commerce is going to lean on the development commissioners to ease the speed at which the denotification is allowed. So there is a little pain, I would say, for the next few months, but I don't see it lasting for long. Now, this will have two impacts, one a very positive impact and one a slight negative impact. The positive impact is that it will bring very high quality real estate to the market with the ability to lease. And developers who have these developments in good locations and have credibility will do well. Marginally, especially in, say, Hyderabad, there will be a slight subdued rentals for about 2-3 quarters before some of this stock gets absorbed. So whilst there is a temporary blip, but I believe it's very, very temporary, and the Ministry of Commerce comes out with the new guidelines, I think we will do well. In terms of our budgeting, etc., we have been cautious for the next year. And we are going with the assumption that SEZ vacancy will remain by and large similar. It will improve by 100-200 basis points. On the mall space, yes, doubling is very much on the cards. If you have seen the analyst presentations, 2 million worth of retail is under about 1.5 million retail is under construction in the books of DLF. We've got the Avenue Mall Goa, which is construction is going on full swing, and the two high street shopping centers, one in DLF 5 and the other near DLF Midtown, the construction is on full swing. And our plan for Mall of India Gurgaon has now reached at quite an advanced stage. And I dare say that when we meet next time, we'll probably share the news with you that construction has either commenced or is about to commence. So if you take about 2.6 million of downtown, Mall of India, Gurgaon, and you take the existing developments that are happening, the total automatically is roughly double of where we stand today at between 4 and a half billion square feet. Now, one more point on the expansion I would like to share, that in the Vasant Kunj complex, where we have two malls, the Promenade and the Emporio, the total size of these malls is about 800,000 square feet, slightly below 800,000. And we have the potential FAR to do another 500,000 square feet in that complex. And that's right in the center of town. Unlike some of our competitors, we have yet not utilized this FAR. And we plan to, we are also sort of going through a master planning of those sites. But we plan to take it up after the construction at Mall of India has commenced and has stabilized. Similarly, at DLF Avenue in Saket, we have the ability to construct another 200,000 square feet of GLA, which we shall do at a later date, because as you know, we've just renovated DLF Avenue about 2.5 years back, and we would let it flow for some time before we take up that GLA.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the detailed response. I'll come back in the queue. I have a few more. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Sheth from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and good morning to everyone. Firstly, congratulations on, you know, a great year, and congratulations on surpassing everyone to be the largest developer in residential this year. My first question is again on Arbor, and this is with regards to pricing rather than, you know, the demand. You know, what's the strategy, what was the strategy here? Because since our last investor day last year, it came across that, you know, we are very, you know, optimistic on the pricing part. You know, while in Arbor we started probably at lower rate than the market was expecting, and we have sold at around 1700-1800 per square feet. I'm not trying to criticize, but just wanted to understand the strategy from here on. Were we trying to, suppress the price increase that was happening in Gurgaon and potentially would have impacted the affordability, in future? So just wanted to understand your thoughts on that.
So as for Arbor is concerned, again, with this particular thing, as I said, it's been great learning. So as far as the price points are concerned, we deliberated, it went back and forth. See, when you're sourcing leads and when you're setting up a certain agenda, you should always set it up at a higher price point, because to build it from a ground up story is, there are more disappointments than anything else, because everybody has to plan their budgets. So when you're doing something like that, you're always, because even your numbers aren't finalized and all that, so you are kind of sussing the market out, but you always put it out in a way as transparent as possible and say you're going to be where about a certain number. So that's what we did. But with regard to, see what happens is there are two things here. If you've seen, projects where other developers have launched a month after and the collections begin, that's when it actually gives you the real picture of what the demand is, you know. And that's when most of the cancellations and all that happen. So that speculation is something, and then there is this hardcore people back it up with money. So that's one. With regard to Arbor again, in terms of price strategy, that area, let me tell you, we are still about at least about maybe 20-25%, if not more, higher than that what that golf course extension area demanded or traded at that point in time. So to be fair, I think we could have, to your point, gone up to maybe 40%, 50%, but I think sometimes sales is more important, and to create that a certain amount of hype and actual test out the market is more important than just playing around with price points, you know. So I think that's where it was. As it stands in the golf course extension, I can talk about 14th of February. I don't think there was any trade that was happening beyond 14,000, irrespective of what people were saying. They would start, launch a product at S17 and then discount it by 3,000-4,000. So really, I don't think the prices went beyond that. So therefore, for us to, you know, come on with, to launch something at an 18,000 was, for that area, was a new benchmark. And please, you know, understand there is a clear distinction between golf course or DLF 5 or golf course road versus that. So yet we launched, I thought the pricing was pretty aggressive, you know, at 18,000. Now that you look at it in retrospect, yes, could you have done better? I'm sure we could have done more, but I think we'll do much more future. So that's okay. But I think, I hope I've been able to explain that to you.
And also for a relatively new micro market, it's in retrospect, it wasn't a bad idea to leave some markup for the customers also. I mean, it also sort of thrills them that they are almost making, you know, a certain markup almost within 90 days of buying.
And also just to add, as Akash rightly said, that in that micro market, our pricing is almost 15% higher than the market. I would also like to also add on the quality of sales, right? See, pricing cannot be just put that in isolation, right? So if you really look at the quality of sales, we've been able to not only sell the entire thing in 3 months, but we've been able to actually collect 10% within the first 30 days. We've been able to sign agreements with all 1,134 customers in the first 30 days. And we are happy to share that our end user estimation is higher than 55%. So I think you have to really look at everything in totality and not just one element of sales, which is pricing.
Sure, that's very clear. And thanks for raising that, you know, end user point. So, you know, of late I've seen, you know, company marketing its project in Singapore and Dubai. So we have started this, you know, obviously NRI marketing as well, which would have been prevalent earlier as well. But, you know, what's the strategy there? I mean, would those demand would still be considered as, you know, end user demand, considering that, you know, they are in really NRI investors and they would always settle there. So your strategy on that?
Yeah, so NRI has contributed to about 20% of the business, and we have thankfully I'm happy to say we have an NRI who returned from Singapore, Mr. Shyam Khattar. He invested in a DLF property and lived in that. So we have millions of examples like this. See, NRI, I tell you something, this constituency we were not aggressively targeting after having done that maybe previously. When I remember when I used to run golf and other businesses, they would welcome us with open hand, open arms and all that. And it was a great relationship. After that, we kind of stepped back from that market, my colleagues who were kind of running it earlier. So when I saw the opportunity right now for the last 1 year specifically, where there was constant and consistent feedbacks and demands from the NRI market saying that, you know, by the time they get prepped up, it's sold. You know, they never get the inventory, they never. So I tried it out in a project called Grove in Q3. When we spoke about, I tried it out in the Valley Garden in Panchkula and here, which you all are aware of. And this time we went a little more aggressive. Our NRI contributions have been almost 14-15% if I look at 15,000, but actually we started, if I look at the 10,000 guidance we'd given, it's almost 20%. So that is a market which is ready, that is a market which is wanting good real estate and investments to make. And for the future, I mean, I've seen so many NRIs come back and want to settle in areas which are fully provided for. You know, security, safety, each aspect that they look at, green, sustainable. I think that's what DLF stands for. So there is I'm seeing a tremendous demand from that market. I've been making those statements. I don't know whether you got a chance to read them. But whether it's the Middle East, US is giving us US is one of our biggest markets. And then, of course, you've got Southeast Asia. So I think this time there was a concerted plan from Q1 to target the NRIs. It's borne a lot of good fruit. And this year, again, we'll continue the trend. But NRIs have you know, what I think right now is they always love to invest. And they've been, other than the Indian markets where they lost money previously, they kind of spent their money or wanted to invest all over the world, you know, other than India. I'm seeing that trend change over the last year and a half, and very heartening to know that. And they're going to be continuing to be there in those markets because they're very precise. They know what they want. They, you know, there are no hassles. They work like those countries work. You know, the payments come on time, the agreements are done. Either they are on or they are not, you know. So it's a very clear and clean system of working with the NRI.
And Pritesh, one more thing you mentioned about end users. You know, to please appreciate, anybody who is buying an 8 crore property, in most cases, it could be his second property. It may not be his first property. When we say end user, we are looking at people who are looking to buy this property and holding it for a very long term, versus short-term investors who will buy, pay 20%, flip it over, which used to be the overwhelming trend, say, till about 7-8 years back. These are people who are buying the property as a serious investment decision, either for staying or for renting as a second property or whatever, but who are not looking to flip it over short to medium term. That's what end user really means, you know, because you mentioned that if somebody is still in Singapore, how can he be an end user? So I just clarifying that.
Got it. Thanks for the clarification. And one last question on, you know, the launch pipeline for next year. It really looks, too good. I've seen like around 4.5 million square feet of projects being added this year. You know, if I adjust the second phase of Arbor, so would like to know what are those projects that we have added to our pipeline. Probably Crest 2 is one, but you know, apart from that, you know.
Okay, so the estimate for the current year is 11 million square feet. So let me start with luxury. Luxury, we've given an estimate of close to 5 million square feet, of which we will have a residential housing coming up in DLF5. That will be close to 3.5 million square feet, plus another residential housing coming up in Pune. That's broadly luxury. I'll move to premium, which is approximately 5 million square feet, which includes DLF City, Garden City floors, and residential housing in New Gurugram. Then we have projected some SCO commercial in Tri-City, Panipat, and New Gurugram. And finally, it's Noida IT Park and Data Center. So those are broadly the projects and the location which are part of this 11 million square feet for the current system.
Sure. And voice cracked up a bit in between. So if I got it correctly, there is a Chennai project which is planned in premium.
Luxury. Chennai is a luxury project.
Yeah. Okay, luxury project. And there is a residential housing in New Gurgaon that is going to be a high-rise project, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. I mean, it could be a mid to high rise. It won't be independent floors, but it could be mid to high rise. You know, let's see where exactly the building plans finally settle at.
Got it. Thanks for a very detailed answer, and I'll jump back to you. Thank you,
sir.
Thank you. The next question is a text question from the line of Biplab Dev Verma from Antique Stock Broking. As per news report, Cognizant is cutting back on 11 million square feet in office space in order to save cost. Cognizant is one of the top clients. Is Cognizant vacating DLF offices too? Would it be a new trend?
Let me answer this question at a little broader level before I come specifically to Cognizant. See, after the COVID, there are two, three things that have got established. One is that India's digital backbone is very strong. Two, India has a compelling case for cost competitiveness in terms of English-speaking young techies on one side and global quality real estate at a fraction of a cost on the other. So the long-term trend does not change at all. The other is that we in DLF and my brethren in the industry are also seeing a shift from third-party IT service providers, that too who have been very extensive in their approach and not focused on one side. The trend moving to global capability centers, which are much more stronger and much more sort of sticky. Now, Cognizant has had a bad run, and in our portfolio, they have given up over the years about 30-35% space, primarily in Chennai, compared to what I understand about 60% space in some of the other buildings that they occupy. Does it impact us? Till now, no. Will it impact us in future? Yes, there will be a marginal impact of 5-6 months before we lease the place again.
Yeah.
And please understand that as and when, say, Cognizant vacates, our mark-to-market rentals are about 18-25% higher depending on the location compared to the existing rentals.
And again, just to reiterate what Sriram said, I think a medium-term trend you will see is a declining over time share of the third-party IT/ITES providers with respect to the captive GCCs. That, I think, is just a trend that's just here, and you can't deny that.
Yeah. So just to take this logic a little forward, we have had three new buildings in the last 3-4 years, and you're aware of that. One is CyberPark. One is downtown 2 and 3 in Gurgaon, which is 1.5 million square feet. And one is about 3.3 million square feet in downtown Chennai. The total of these buildings put together is about 8-9 million square feet. And I dare say that we don't even have a single third-party IT service provider in these. This has been predominantly taken up by the global capability centers. And the chunks in which they take up is larger. So in these sort of 8-9 million square feet, the total number of tenants are about 30-35.
Yeah.
And that's a very positive trend that we see in our portfolio. We also see that the demand that is coming up and the potential inquiries that are there are quite strong from the global capability centers rather from the third-party IT service providers who definitely take up space, but the volumes that they take up are far lower. And what moves the needle is the space taken by the global capability centers and not by the third-party providers.
Thank you. So we have one more question from the same participant. You're planning to launch 11 million square feet valued at INR 20,000 crore. What would be the ticket size?
Yeah, it ranges. It will possibly be in a range of 2 to 15 crores, I'll say.
Thank you. The next question is a text question from the line of Parvez Ghazi from Nuvama Group. Of the 2.2 MSF expected to be completed in downtown Chennai in FY24, how much has been pre-released? Thank you.
Yeah. So downtown Chennai is three towers totaling to about 3.3 million square feet. We have out of this already pre-leased about 2.8, 2.9 million, including the some bit of hard options which two very large tenants have there. And so about 450,000 square feet is left to be leased. I think it's been a very positive development, and it's been to about five, six tenants only. And we are just, now starting to plan for the, we have another 3 to 3.2 million further to construct there. And we have initiated the process of planning to start the construction of those. It will take a little time for the for this project to complete, say another eight odd months, and then we should commence the construction of the balance.
Thank you. The next question is an audio question from the line of Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Firstly, congratulations on a great quarter. Secondly, when I look at your launch guidance of 11 million square feet versus 10 million square feet last year, you know, considering the overall market is doing so well, and even a peer group like say M3M clocked record sales this year, so the underlying demand in the market is pretty strong, and we have practically sold out or like substantially sold out whatever we have launched. The 11 million square feet guidance, are we being again very cautious in terms of new launches here?
So, A, what I'd say, Kunal, is that, you know, I think, especially when dealing with relatively premier end of the market for players like us and maybe a couple of players, others also in the country, maybe it's also high time that the analyst community moves away from its obsession with the million square feet number. It's a completely irrelevant metric, really. You know, we do it because you guys want it. I think we should be looking at the pre-sales value and, most important, the margin that we are going to generate. I think from a margin standpoint, really, that we have planned to generate by new launches next year, I think we'll find it hopefully a very healthy clip growth over what we did this year. You know, I can do 20 million square feet of Pollet Colony in New Gurgaon, Indore, and Chandigarh. Which will fill the hair, but honestly, those things won't generate money in that format. So I think we just need to be cautious. Also, please appreciate that in some cases, if you calibrate your launches well, you're obviously doing what you need to do from a sales and a margin standpoint, but really there's also price accretion happening in those markets, which really, with a little bit of patience, tends to pay off disproportionately.
Sure.
Crores we are launching, really. Yeah. 11 million is not the metric. 19,000 crores is the metric that you should look at.
Sure.
Also, Kunal, just to add to what Mr. Tyagi said, last year our average price realization was almost 15,000 rupees a square feet. And this year it's improving or increasing to almost close to 18,000 rupees a square feet. Right. So I think it's the way we see it, it's more of a value game than a volume game.
Understood. Just to follow up on your new launches which you highlighted for 24, I did not hear about One Midtown. Is it scheduled for next year?
So One Midtown is this year. In fact, we preponed it, Kunal, from Q2 to Q1. So you will most probably, it will be end of, we planned it end of this month. So it's going on well. One Midtown is the last tower B. Rest is, as you know, we've already announced. So it's going on. And so that in fact will be open from Q1.
Okay. So basically the luxury segment launches would have, of 5 million square feet, would have 3.5 million square feet of phase 5 and then One Midtown and Chennai Luxury.
One Midtown, the part of the inventory of 7,000.
Sure. Secondly, again a clarification on the rental portfolio. So you did highlight that in the newer projects, what has been the contribution from the third party IT providers. But on an overall portfolio basis, how much would be occupied by third party IT providers? And are we worried on that side?
I would not be able to give you a figure offhand, but I can just say that the third-party service provider as a percentage of the total portfolio is declining. Are we concerned about that? The answer is no. The reason is that within third-party service providers, it is not that everyone is weak. There are reasonably strong players there also. And to the medium-sized third-party providers who do niche work, like in the area of healthcare or property management, continue to do very well. And if any hiccup happens in any sector there, in the delivery sector, that the reflection of that on the portfolio is minuscule. So if one or two or three or four or five of the weaker ones leave, it does not move the needle on the portfolio as a whole.
Sure. And just to follow up on that, what would be the March 24 exit rental?
March 24 exit rental should be in the ballpark of 380 crore-400 crore, 420 crore a month.
Okay.
So the exit rent rate on an annualized basis will be about 4,800 crore-4,900 crore.
Great. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you. The next question is a text question from the line of Mohit Agrawal from IIFL. Two questions. How is the demand for Camellias since April and changes to capital gains laws?
Yeah. So Camellias demand, now, as you know, we are in the fag end of it, and it's been established, pretty well received, good references, everything going on pretty okay. In fact, the price points that you may know now have been increased to 50,000 rupees a BSP, basic sale price for lower floors, 8 and below, 9 and 12, about 55,000, and 14 and above, 60,000 rupees a sq ft, plus VLCs and everything else, which basically takes it to about anything between 45 to about 55 crores an apartment cost. These are the regular ones. And then, of course, the 11,000 and all are even more. So the demand has been pretty good, and we've been able to kind of maintain our price points also. So as far as Camellias is concerned, that's been good. The with reference to your point about capital gains, I didn't see that much happening in Camellias the 31st and before. They have 2 years to invest, so probably that will be there. I don't know, but at this point of time, we've got a very healthy demand for Camellias, which is you know continuing, and the last whatever number of apartments that are left will focus on that also. But the price points have considerably gone up since we last spoke, to almost about I think 15,000 rupees a square foot, which is quite a big jump, you know. And if you all recall, 18 months back, the price was 37,500 rupees a square foot, which is now the same as I just mentioned, is anything between 50,000 to 60,000 rupees. So that's going on. But reference specifically about capital gains, I haven't seen that kind of a push from that side. But yes, hopefully, I mean, they have the time. Everybody's seen it. As and when their money's come in, hopefully, I think we are on the top recall. I think we are on the top one, two, three properties to be invested in India. So, yeah.
Thank you. So we have the second question from the same participant. How do you see cash flows next year? What do you plan to do with operating cash flow in FY24 now that you are nearly net debt-free? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mohit, for those questions. So on the cash flows, let me start with collections. So last financial year, we had a good year on the collection side. We collected 5,300 crores of collections we had, which was almost a growth of 25%. And as I look into 2023-24, I expect the same run rate to continue. So we expect our collections to grow 20%-25% this year. Having said that, as you know, we are scaling up our business. So there is a significant outflow which is happening both on the construction and the construction, including the capex side. So we expect our construction outflow to increase by almost 50% during the financial year. How do we really plan to utilize this cash? I think that's something which is we've been saying very, very clearly that our first priority is to put cash behind growth, right? And we will continue to do that. The second priority is to really continue to reward our shareholders, and we've done that this year, as you know. And the third priority is to really repay the debt, right? So I think in that sequence, we'll continue to really allocate our cash what we generate year on year.
Thank you. The next question is an audio video question from the line of Abhinav Sinha from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, so congrats on the quarter. On the just following up on the previous question on utilization of the cash. So we have a large land auction coming up in Gurgaon. Any thoughts on participating in the same?
So as far as the land auctions in Gurgaon, I don't know which what you are talking about is the large land auction.
HSIIDC one.
In HSIIDC, the global
city.
The global city.
The global city,
in all fairness, at the price points that Haryana is talking about, we do not believe is a matter of interest to us as of today, frankly. But HSIIDC and other Haryana bodies keep on coming up with localized auctions of interesting land parcels, some of which we do occasionally participate in. But those are frankly far smaller numbers. No, the global city is not something we are actively looking at right now.
Okay. Also, second question on the premium pipeline. So the average pricing that you sort of worked out on the luxury end is around 25K. Fair to believe that the phase 5 launch or stretch to put some closer to 30K? Is that the right benchmark to look at now?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to speculate on that right now.
Okay. So thanks a lot and all the best.
Okay. But nice try all the same.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you and congrats on a great quarter in the year. This is just quick two questions. One is, do you have any more land parcels in golf course extension or any plans to augment over there? And second is, in the longer term, how do you think about the retail or the mall portfolio that you are expanding?
Well, answer the first one and then defer to Shriram on the second one. So I don't think we have an active land parcel of any sizable scale on the Golf Course Extension Road right now, do we? No. So we have one more land parcel here in Sector 69. We also have a very major land parcel closer to the Southern Peripheral Road, you know, frankly, which actually runs into like almost a couple of hundred acres, Samirji. So I think those are clearly, I mean, both of those are on the active list of planning right now, you know, frankly, and maybe a part of it could come up in the coming fiscal. Rahi baat, as far as what you said about, are you looking at acquiring more space there? I mean, as you know, because of a couple of developers on that, on the Golf Extension Road, who have been under some degree of stress, regulatory or financial, there have been a few land parcels which keep on coming up through the banking auction system route, etc. You know, so I mean, there are one or two parcels which we have evinced interest in the past. Nothing specified yet. You know, if something does, we'll be more than happy to come and disclose. But right now, as we speak, there's nothing that really, you know, frankly, is looking near closure.
On the retail portfolio, at a macro level, the retail in India is going to be quite robust in the years to come because of the sheer economic growth that is taking place in the country and people moving from to the middle class and from middle class into the upper middle class on one side to within retail, organized retail is going to do better than the retail as a whole. And the percentage of offline sales have not gone up for the last 2.5 years, and I don't see them going up either. So organized retail in good locations has, in our view, a very bright future. And if I can hazard to take a guess on the market as a whole, retail as a portfolio in terms of growth will do equal to or better than the growth of the offices portfolio. And that's why we embarked on this journey of about 18 months back on doubling our retail portfolio from the present about 4.5 million to about 9 million square feet.
So you will retain the retail portfolio within DLF, or would there be plans to spin it off? And to the earlier answer, Mr. Tyagi, so this couple of 100 acres of land, Southern Peripheral Road, I can mention, which sector is that?
Yeah, yes. So I know there is on 74, 76, 77. So in subsectors, may here, right?
Got it.
And there's also a some of it is commercial, a large chunk of it is residential. I think it's a combo of both resi and commercial.
Okay, got it. Yeah. And just on the retail portfolio, sir?
So on the retail portfolio, sir, the retail portfolio that we are developing in the DLF side, you know, frankly, yes, you're right. I mean, most probably we would want to transfer it to hopefully Cyber City. But as you know, that's a decision that has to be taken jointly with our shareholder GIC. So frankly, right now we are developing it. Once it's complete and leased out so that a clear cap rate based transfer price can be worked out, I think at that time, you know, we will engage with Shriram and GIC on trying to transfer that. You know, nahi kharidenge tab se dekhenge, but hopefully they will.
Yeah, but to clarify, out of the about 4.5 to 5 million growth, 2.6 to 3 million is within the DCCDL portfolio. What is outside the DCCDL portfolio is about 1.4, 1.5 million.
Yeah, got it, sir. Very clear. Thank you.
And Art Samirji, like MS Dhoni, you drop yourself down in the batting order.
Yes, next time I'll try to do it better.
Maybe Dhoni, like you, makes a huge effect at the end also.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashok Tyagi for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
So thank you once again, everybody, for taking out time on a Saturday and coming up and having a very, very nice chat. You know, I mean, as some of you who have been with us for a long time, I think really to some degree for a long time, there were a lot of business strategies that we had been trying to pursue. You know, we had our tough times, as you know, through the last decade in many years, both events local to us as well as macro to the market. I mean, touch wood, it does appear that I think we are now hopefully hitting our peak stride both in the DevCo business and in the RentCo business. I mean, RentCo business, I think we hopefully run possibly the best office and retail portfolios that exist right now. And I think our DevCo thing, we are hitting a good stride now. And, you know, hopefully our debt problem is conclusively behind us. And the cash generation is now happening on a regular basis, you know. So, I mean, we just hope that the fiscal 23-24, we can sustain the gains that we have made in the last fiscal and continue, you know, strengthening ourselves on these things, and the market holds up. Even the interest rate cycle, which at one time, you know, was sort of beginning to loom in as a major challenge, you know, hopefully, if not at the peak, we are possibly closer to the peak than we've been in the last 12 months. And I think at some stage in 6-9 months down the line, you know, things should begin, you know, should begin reversing. So I think really both from India really, you know, is, I think, on the cusp of a very major economic upswing. And hopefully, you know, the real estate sector, both offices, retail and residential, should all benefit from it. So really, you know, with that optimism, you know, I'd thank you again and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DLF Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.